Good afternoon, Farm News, here on the Red River Farm Network on this Wednesday, February 13th. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan in studio. The value of the U.S. dollar has stabilized after reaching a two-month high earlier this week. The prospects for a U.S.-China trade deal has been positive for currency values. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, who's one of the two key negotiators in these trade talks, said negotiations are going well. Mnuchin and U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer will lead the trade talks for the balance of the week. Chinese President Xi is expected to meet with the U.S. delegation Friday.
S&W Trading President Andy Schisler is expecting the markets to remain quiet and choppy as traders wait for any fresh trade news out of China.
I didn't think we had really any reason to be down on Monday. So they come back and it roars back yesterday, and now there's just like nothing left here. They kind of pushed it, you know, to all it's going to do before this. So we got the guys from the White House going to China. Expectations of, you know, moving progress along with that and maybe seeing more commitments on maybe more bushels and beans and things like that as well.
And Schisler says traders are very cautious about taking a position while trade meetings are taking place.
It's like every week, you know, we hear some bad rumor or comment, this, that, or the other. And last week it was like, oh, we're really far apart on this stuff. And then yesterday President Trump says that, you know, I don't mind moving this deadline back. It's just like, bang, there goes crude, there goes stocks, and, you know, the beans get a pretty good hit, and same thing with the pigs, really, the lean hogs. So I think we're probably done for the most part, other than chop this week.
Van On and Company market analyst Christy Van On expects the grain trade to be choppy as it waits for export news.
This Thursday we get export sales, but the 22nd we get 6 weeks worth of export sales, and we will be completely caught up at that point knowing what has been purchased. And that's going to be a big deal to the market, knowing just where we sit at for export demand specifically into that soybean complex, as we've really been trailing behind, but we've had some big sales to make up for it. So we'll be watching that. We do need to start shipping out some soybeans a little bit at a quicker pace. We know that inspections are lacking a little bit here, but you know there's time to catch up there.
Basis levels at the six grain elevators at the Red River Farm Network follows were mostly unchanged last week. Wheat basis levels remain 42 to 70 under the March futures contracts. Corn basis levels range from 45 to 75 cents under the March. Cash wheat prices range from 509 to 537 a bushel, and cash corn prices range from 302 to 378 a bushel. Soybean basis levels probably saw the widest change, with basis levels ranging from down 3 cents to a 15 cent improvement. Cash soybean prices range from 783 to 813 per bushel.
There's still uncertainty on cropping decisions for 2019. Near Minot, Berthold Farmers Elevator General Manager Dan Mostad says growers will likely stick to their rotation, but there could be a switch to spring wheat.
Some of the cereal grain acres change from durum to spring wheat. As 2018 crop has shown, 14 pro spring wheats. Prices have been better than milling quality durum, and it's, you know, easier. I shouldn't say easier, but it takes less time and effort to grow a 14 pro spring wheat crop than maintaining quality on a high quality milling durum crop. That pine color, make sure you get it off before any rain hurts color and all those things. So we maybe see a little acre switch with the inside of wheat.
Mostad says there's not a real big home run crop.
You know, the returns to the grower, net returns to the grower, are pretty even across the board. Hopefully there are returns.
North Dakota farmers are learning how to better identify Palmer amaranth ahead of spring. NDSU Extension plant pathologist Joe Eichley says Palmer amaranth weeds have no hair. There's spiny bracts on the female plants, and the female heads are prickly. The male head is soft, and the leaves are diamond or an oval shape. Weed specialist Joe Eichley says farmers need to control the weed if they have it, because it's on the noxious weed list.
That being said, you know, it's probably going to be, the noxious weed laws will be triggered late summer when we don't have actual control options in crop. So hopefully we have not enough Palmer, so we have a few plants. If we do find them and we hand weed them, worst case, Absolute worst case is, you know, maybe mowing or disking down a field if we have a major population on our hands. We hope to not get to that point. That's why we're talking about ID, trying to stay ahead of the game, because we don't want to mow down crops just because of one weed.
Eichle is very familiar with Palmer Amaranth, working with Indiana farmers on management before joining NDSU Extension. He says the weed is a problem in dry conditions, and if the weed is established, it could thrive in the western part of North Dakota.
It's coming from the south, so I would assume, based on my experience down there, automatically assume glyphosate and group 2 resistance. So assume glyphosate, Pursuit, Raptor won't work. That's a safe assumption. If they work, you're living well. We do have options in all of our crops still. But if you do have Palmer, then you know things like our pulse crops may not be the best option because we don't have effective post-emergence options. But for me, it goes back to proper identification. So, you know, in places like Indiana, we call it the three-year cycle. Year one, you don't think you have it. Year two, you notice a few escaped pigweeds. And then year three, the question comes, what the heck is this and where did it come from? These are pigweeds, but they're a different monster when I talk about Palmer and water hemp.
Weed management was discussed during Tuesday's Northern Corn and Soybean Expo.
According to Reuters, the Environmental Protection Agency will release a single draft rule to allow for the year-round use of E15 and address speculation into the purchase of ethanol RIN numbers. There was speculation the two proposals would be introduced as separate issues, but is now apparent they will be handled together. Reuters says President Trump instructed the EPA to combine those two issues into one draft rule. The EPA had planned to release the rule for higher blends of ethanol by early February, but the timeline was hurt by the partial government shutdown. Don't forget, you can find out more about the Red River Farm Network radio affiliates, listen to this broadcast, and more on your phone. Bookmark RRFN.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Weekly ethanol production topped 1 million barrels per day last week, according to this week's U.S. Petroleum report released by the Energy Information Administration. EIA says for the week that ended February the 8th, ethanol production was 1.03 million barrels per day. That's up 62,000 barrels a day from the previous week and 13,000 barrels per day more than the same week a year ago. Ethanol stocks for the week ending February 8th are down 500,000 barrels from the previous week.
During Tuesday's Northern Corn and Soybean Expo, farmers engaged in discussions on farm stress management. Minnesota Farmers Union Vice President Brian Clabundy says farmers are usually pretty quiet, but there was lots of discussion in this session.
I was really impressed when Meg did ask, you know, what are signs of depression or, you know, stress? And they got 15 answers in a minute. You know, people were just popping off. You know, you could tell it wasn't just...
It was real life. Stress can show up in lives many different ways, and it can be seen when people change their normal patterns, like eating and sleeping. Minnesota Department of Agriculture Senior Advisor Meg Moynihan encourages farmers, when dealing with financial stress, to get creative and find the right person to talk through those issues. That could be your spouse, a neighbor, or an ag retailer.
A bill has been introduced in the U.S. Senate to create the Office of Rural Broadband within the Federal Communications Commission. Goal is to improve access to broadband technology in rural areas. North Dakota Senators Kevin Cramer and John Hoeven, along with Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, are original co-sponsors of that bill.
The National Farm Machinery Show is underway in Louisville. Kentucky farmer Ryan Bivens helps manage the show and says this event is a learning experience.
You know, you stop to think about it. You have 12 months. You have one chance during that 12 months to get it right. So obviously, you don't want to be satisfied with what you did last year. You're always looking for ways to improve, and you're looking at, okay, what can we do? Because obviously when I just finished this last crop, I have just took out 2% of my potential lifetime expectancy of farming. You know, every year I do that, so I've got 50 chances to get it right.
This is the largest indoor farm show in the United States with more than 900 exhibitors. More than 350,000 farmers will participate in this year's National Farm Machinery Show.
New Holland Agriculture has introduced its new Genesis T8 series tractor with Precision Land Management Intelligence. The intuitive platform is designed to support precision farming and data management. The new tractor series is being unveiled at the North American Farm Machinery Show and the World Ag Expo.
Caterpillar Incorporated says worldwide sales growth slipped to 9% in January on softer sales in Asia. CAT says its rolling three-month sales rose 9% in January compared to 10% in December and 16% in November. North American rolling retail sales were up 20% in January compared to 14% in December and 20% in November.
In addition to general supply-demand considerations, Cattle Facts CEO Randy Black says cattle producers need to be alert to the big-picture issues.
Traceability, source verified, humanely raised, all of these things that are, I think we have a great story to tell as an industry. I mean, I think we have the best producers in the world. They care about their animals. They do their very best. The whole sustainability picture. I think we've got a great story to tell. It's just figuring out how we can package that to tell the story, to add to that overall positive eating experience that those consumers are going to have, because these things are important to them.
Black says the cattle industry has provided a superior dining experience over time. The next step is to focus on the issues important to a new generation of consumers.
Traceability, source verified, humanely raised, all of these things that are, I think we have a great story to tell as an industry. I mean, I think we have the best producers in the world. They care about their animals. They do their very best. The whole sustainability picture. I think we've got a great story to tell. It's just figuring out how we can package that to tell the story, to add to that overall positive eating experience that those consumers are going to have, because these things are important to them.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota's corporate farming laws are stopping family farms from bringing second cousins into the operation. NDFB President Daryl Lease says NDFB says a bill to correct this issue is coming before the North Dakota legislature.
So later this week, there's going to be a bill heard in the House Ag Committee about the opportunity to expand who's considered to be a family when it comes to a family farming corporation. There's an exemption in our anti-corporate farming law to allow families, but it tells you who your family is and isn't, and it stops it at first cousins.
Lee says the bill points out an antiquated law that needs to be changed.
This bill kind of points out the ridiculousness of our law here in the state. We have the state telling us who and who isn't and who qualifies and who doesn't qualify as a family member when it comes to your family farm, and using an incorporated status for your financial planning and your protections that you may want and wish to have on your business, farm and ranch out there.
Just a reminder, tomorrow is the final day to sign up for the Market Facilitation Program. USDA Undersecretary Bill Northey emphasizes this is the enrollment deadline. There's still time to certify that production.
Producers still have until May 1st to be able to bring in that production information for us to be able to make payments.
The threat of wheat midge has eased. A total of 2,000 soil samples collected from 21 counties last fall, and less than 1% of those samples had an issue with wheat midge. 84% of the samples had zero midge larvae, which is a new record low since the survey was conducted in 1995. NDSU Extension entomologist Jan Knodel cites the drought in northwestern and north-central North Dakota for the drop in wheat midge numbers. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you, March Minneapolis wheat up 6.25 at 583.5. March Chicago wheat up 3 at 523. March Kansas City wheat up 2.25. March corn up 0.25 at 378.5. December corn unchanged at 402. March beans down 1.5 at 916. November beans down 1.75 at 958.25. In livestock markets, April live cattle down 72 cents at 127.15. March feeder cattle down 75 cents at 143.65. February lean hogs down 5 cents. April down 45 cents at 59.87. Taking a look at the farm calendar, lots on the calendar. Best of the best in wheat and soybean research underway tomorrow in Grand Forks. This is the Red River Farm Network.